Good evening. We are going to first review what we did last week, and I just mentioned that we had the good fortune to have Rabbi Rieti, and it really reiterated that what we are doing, working on Hakaras HaTov, is so critical to being happy in life. And being happy, and somebody called me up the other day, he said, "How am I doing?" And I said, "I'm having fun." So this was actually, you know, from people call me all the time, they ask me this question. They used to be saying that, the people in the show, people in the general area. This guy's a secular guy, and he's like you know, not Amachad, really secular. So he says, "Well, Levine, I didn't know Orthodox Jews had fun." I said, "That's why you have to hang out with me some more." But after that, I explained to him that there's a difference between, we gave him a whole lecture, really, what the Simcha is, happiness, Sasan is spurts of fun, and what really fun is. It really, if a person wants to be happy, and Hashem wants us to be happy in this world, Hakaras HaTov is crucial and critical. And the difference of having Hakaras HaTov and not is, it's a different galaxy. As mentioned, when a person is lacking simcha, lacking happiness, they are paralyzed to a certain extent, right? Which means they're stunted in their growth, they're stunted in their relationships. So we discussed last week the second reason why very often people are kafoy toiv, people have ingratitude, why they don't express their gratitude to others. And what we said is as follows, that people sometimes are concerned to say the words thank you, even to articulate it, because if they do that, the person will look at them, and they'll look at themselves as indebted to that person. And certainly, people don't like to feel that they owe people anything. Right? We like to feel like we don't owe anyone anything. And we discussed at length, and certainly when we don't want to feel, it's like particularly to certain authors, that there's a lot of ingest mother-in-law, father-in-law jokes this weekend, right? But it's true. The few most critical cases that I dealt with in this were those type of cases where, and I gave the example last week of the individual when I was in Lakewood who was being supported by his in-laws on one hand, but on the other hand, the in-laws were abusive, right? Bossing him around, telling him what to do, being overbearing. I mentioned what Rabbi Rosenstein said, that there's in-laws and outlaws, right? There are outlaws who ruin marriages, really ruin marriages. So this person was in a dilemma, okay? And the dilemma was that saying thank you would perhaps empower them to say, "Oh, you owe me even more. How could you do so-and-so and so-and-so?" Right? And we all have this, some, not as usual as that, we all have this dilemma. If I say thank you to this person, if the person hurt my feelings, person snubbed me at some level, form, or fashion, and now they did me a favor, like we almost don't want to take the favor. Because this person does me a favor, after all, I don't like this person. I don't want to take it, and sometimes we're forced to, and we don't want to say thank you. So as I mentioned last week, we have that. That's the most drastic cases. Even so, Hakaras HaTov is an obligation. Somebody benefits you in any form or fashion, we must say thank you. Right? It's not a nice thing to do. And I give extreme cases of where you feel like you're empowering this individual. A person has to be an adult sometimes, and you know. An adult does, you say thank you if somebody helps you, right? You're stranded somewhere, somebody helps you. It doesn't make a difference, you know, of something else. He helped you right now. You were stranded. They gave you a ride. Right? Somebody gave you advice. Somebody, you were sick and they visited you in the hospital. They did you a chesed. Right? On the contrary, on the Purim spirit, right, what do we do on Purim Shalach Manas? Do you know what the most important people to do Shalach Manas, by the way, is? Mrs. Ryan, when we're listening to Hilchos Purim, I hope you're...
Yeah, not your friends, the other people.
You should give your friends. But the most important people are to give... most people are not giving to their enemies. They're giving to people they're estranged from, or they have... that's the person you want to give number one. You know why? You're supposed to be causing a bond on Purim. We're not supposed to say bitter enemies then. You should give it to a person who, if you give it to them, maybe you're opening yourself up. And maybe they won't come, your friend. I want to pick the drastic. We have to do the right thing. That's the bottom line here. Right? It doesn't make a difference. If I give someone, of course you want them to become your friends. You're right. Right? What's your new name going to be, by the way? It's no more Marilyn. I have to get the new name.
You can go with Miriam.
Miriam. So Miriam says, of course you want them to be your friends. Right? Of course you want them to be your friends, but just wanting... Let's say... I mentioned the drastic cases because I don't want people disappointed. Sometimes we put ourselves on the line. Okay? We put ourselves on the line. It's not easy. It takes strength of character to do that. Right? And not always is it required. Sometimes it is. Sometimes that shalachmanis causes that warmness. Sometimes asking a person for vegetus and kippur, or going and saying thank you to the person who you really have good reasons to be upset at sometimes. Good reasons! You know, they were rude, they were unkind, they were callous, they were insensitive, and they happened to have done you a favor. And you say thank you. That's greatness. That's how a person works on themselves. Right? That's how a person becomes a refined individual. When a person does it, most cases, however, are not that drastic. It's just we don't like to be indebted to people. And that's a reason why some people don't say thank you or acknowledge thank you. But great, great people will thank people for years to come. The appreciation is for years to come. I gave so many stories a few months ago. I spoke about Hakaras HaTov. I don't want to give all the stories again. About great people who many, many years later, had such gratitude for small things, and they didn't leave it. Can you imagine, by the way, those are small things, how much gratitude we owe our parents? Can you imagine how much gratitude we owe our in-laws? How much gratitude we owe our teachers? Many of us are out of high school, and if a person is fortunate to have a good teacher, certainly a role model or a rebbeim, right, Rashi Yeshiva. I don't think anyone had Rashi Yeshiva, but Rebbeim, right, Moros, they impacted us. If this makes a difference, it's 30 years later, right? I mean, that we should have a feeling of this person made a positive impact. Right? This person affected me positively, and that we said to start to say thank you. Then we said, of course, the most difficult people to say thank you and to really, really appreciate are the people we are closest to. And the reason it's the most difficult is because we take them the most for granted. How sad it is, we pointed out. Here we have the closest relationships. Husband and wife. Parent and child. Siblings. Right? And in that relationship, we don't even express thank you. We don't articulate it because we take it for granted. We don't sit there, we don't stop and smell the coffee. Hey, I mentioned last week. Could you imagine? You walked into dinner. Make sure your husband's heard this. I hope last week. You walk into dinner. Right? You walk into dinner, and your table's set perfectly, and your favorite chicken, just the way you like it, not the duck sauce chicken, not the barbecue chicken, but the garlic chicken, and the potatoes are roasted just the way you like it. And there's green beans, and you love green beans. And the person had just a mind for you. Wouldn't you be appreciative? There's lemonade on the table. And you love lemonade. And there's three ice cubes just the way you like it. And you walk in there, and it's all there for you. If someone did this all for you, wouldn't you say thank you? And you can find husbands who walk in. The wife has all of dinner in mind for this person. And it barely registers. That's ingratitude. That's ingratitude. And you have husbands who change around the whole day, and they have pressures in work, and they come home, spend time with their wife, and the wife doesn't really appreciate. First thing she does is she complains. Here the guy's ran ahead and changed the whole day, and the first thing he gets is a complaint. No, thanks for trying and working out the whole day to make time for me, right, to do this. First thing is a complaint. That's ingratitude. It goes both ways. You know why it is? It's because we expect it. We expect it. He owes me. She owes me. This is part of marriage. Right? No thank you. Parents and children. Of course you're going to buy me Hanukkah gifts. Of course you're going to get me a stroller when my baby's born. Of course you're going to pay for my college. Well, what kind of parent doesn't pay for college? Only $44,000 a year, right? After taxes, right? Of course. Isn't it a posh? You're going to fly me in for Pesach. Right? Isn't that understood? I mean, and to say thank you, I'm doing you a favor. I'm coming to your house for Pesach. You know, I am coming to your, I mean, how kind of me. Do you know that I had to fly in a plane to come to your house? Of course, Pesach costs, even in Pars, though it's very cheap, Pesach only costs per person about $800 a person. But of course I'm doing you a favor by coming. And the house isn't clean. You didn't clean my room before I came? How chutzpah. I mean, right? And a parent to a child, of course my kid will be my slave. Right? My kid's sitting down on the homework, but I need my kid to get that book. Baruch, get the book! Baruch, in the middle, is doing his own personal homework, right? Has his own life, his own little concerns. Kibbutz Aviyam has to do it. We just filled a purchase yesterday. Of course, Baruch has to get the book. He gets the book, okay? Oh, Baruch, you go throw out the garbage now. No, thank you. No, it's so nice of you. No, appreciate it. Of course, Baruch is my slave. I'm my kid, right? I mean, where's a kid doesn't deserve appreciation, right? A kid doesn't deserve appreciation. I shudder because there are parents who imagine that kibbutz aviyim means that kids are slaves. I think that if a kid, I've been fortunate to be around very fine homes, but I have been unfortunately around very dysfunctional homes. And you see sometimes where parents treat the children, I can use my like garbage. They think that because there's a mitzvah kibbutz aviyim, there's no such thing as thank you. Please, talking gently, respectfully. Right? I mean, when you talk to a stranger on the street, the way some of these parents talk to their children, don't get it out! Right? You're late! Like, the kid's a 12-year-old kid, you torture the kid. You wouldn't talk to here's a kid you love. Right? You brought him into the world. And you're talking to him like a garbage man. Nothing against garbage people, by the way. I've never said that. I mean, like some stranger. Like, you wouldn't talk to anyone that way. And to the kid you love, you know why? It's not because you don't love the kid. It's because you expect it. There's no akar satayiv. And it's also no covered. It's a different subject. Not for now. Akar satayiv, the most... And what Revolba says... that it breaks and damages and hampers relationships, right? I think about, let's go back to the dinner. If your husband asks you to make that garlic chicken just the way he likes it, and the potatoes, the lemonade, 3 ice cubes, string beans, I hope no one's getting hungry as I said this. I'm getting hungry, right? Yeah, the string beans. Imagine the following scene. Your husband says, you know, honey, or whatever he calls sweetie, whatever it is, right? Hey, darling, Mrs. Smith, some houses, Robinson, whatever it may be, you are the best. I appreciate it. The potatoes were delicious. The chicken was fantastic. I'm so lucky. Thank you so much. You really, really made my supper. How can I thank you? Now, wouldn't I want to make you do it again? And not wouldn't I want to make you do it again? Wouldn't it want you to get closer to such a person? Wouldn't that bond you to such a person? Right? Your husband comes home after a tough day of work and he ran home and he skipped this and he didn't eat dinner and he's sitting down with you, right? And you say, thank you so much for putting the time. I really appreciate it. I missed you. You know, I really love spending time with you. And as I mentioned, you put on a shetel and a little makeup for him and you say, thank you so much. Right? Doesn't that make the husband want to do this again? Right? Isn't that incentivizing it? Isn't that creating a bond as opposed to not appreciating his own fact that he didn't eat the whole day, he didn't eat lunch, right? He got screamed at, who knows what happened, right? Doesn't that incentivize it? And isn't that appreciating his efforts and his thing? But we don't do that very often, right? That same child who's obligated, yes, he's obligated she's obligated, kibbutz aviyim, you know, kibbutz aviyim. Honor thy father and mother. Parents are very mocked on that. They should be, by the way. But wouldn't a child be much more happy doing things if after saying nicely, Baruch, please get so-and-so, thank you, you're such a great child. You're such a great son. I love you for what you do. It's opposed to treating the child like nobody else treats him in the world. Right? Hey, not only, by the way, with the children, you're teaching them for their future. You're giving them an education for life. You're implanting them refined character traits. And the danger and the problem is that with family members, right, it's very often taken for granted. So I meant to mention last week, and I hope people again are working on this, that at least one of the chesedim we do, the thank yous, the hakaras hatayos, the expressions of gratitude, it should be to a family member or to somebody you have a very close tie with. Okay? Somebody you take for granted, usually. Right? Somebody you take for granted. I mentioned even a boss. Oh, a boss gives you a job. The job is, if you talk to people, they get a job they like. Right? I give a car, so I tell you. Even though you learn to take the job for granted. Most people, in the beginning, they get a job. Right? If they're desperate for a job, how high will they jump? I know somebody dyed his hair, he's doing resumes. I'm like, a guy, I mean, I don't even ask. Right? For a job. Here someone gives you a job. It doesn't come easy because you're used to the boss. As we discussed last week, says Rav Volbo, "Baneinu is achiyav shohavas toydo al kasev v'parshas bikurim." Certainly, we talk about bikurim, bring the first fruits to Jerusalem in the time of the temple, and we do. What do we say? V'amarta I love the verse of the pasuk is she'enecha kafoy toiva, that I am not a person who's an ingrate. V'nimatzinu oy gedav as a brachas. The one brachas says v'amar Rabbi Yoichanan mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Says Rabbi Yoichanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Who's his Rabbi? Okay, make sure everyone was listening last night. Rabbi Akiva. Miyom shivara kadosh baruch hu. As Oilamo, the time God created the world, Lohaya Adam, there's not an individual, Shahidil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that said, thank you Hashem! And Shabbosa Leah, until Leah came, V'hadaso Shnema HaPam, Oides Hashem. Now I will thank Hashem. When did she say that? When Yehuda was born. Rashi, L'fishuras Baruch Kacho, she saw with her divine inspiration. Yaakov ma'amid shnei masar shvatim. Yaakov would have 12 tribes. And they were in Am Echad. V'loi arba anashim. And they were, and before wives. Four wives, 12 tribes. Kevan shi'al de ben Revi. She had a grand slam. Right? She number four. Right? When she had the ben Revi, ha'idah chata, she knew she had at least got more than her portion. Yoyisir min ha'cheshbar megillah. V'chan kosov Rashi v'chomesh v'tar oyev v'tar ben v'tamar apam oyev Hashem tikr shmo Yehuda. She called Yehuda because she had more than her portion. Yeah.
First of all, I find it very difficult to believe. I mean, to understand how nobody said thank you before. But didn't Hevel bring a gift to Hashem? Isn't bringing someone a gift saying thank you?
I missed my Dvar Torah 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, I spoke all about this.
Very retarded about it.
Yeah.
Delayed. So.
And you didn't hear it in Boston.
You
yeah,
know
so
it
it's
carries, but it
yeah, right. It didn't go that far.
Okay,
it's a good question. I have a whole approach to that. Yeah, I mean, what exactly? It's not now, but what exactly Leah did that no one else? Because of course, you tell me that Avram, Yitzchak, Sarah, Rivka never had a kara. So Noach offers korbans after he comes out of the teva. Never had a kara. Adam, Nizmar Shilu Mashabbos. You know who said that the first time? Adam, right? So there, of course, there are people who had expressions of a curse. Of what this Gemara means, it's a long discussion. When a person gets something, they cannot be an ingrate. Gamala Paris, you get fruits. Hagdolim b'sadeo. Now, let's think for a second, by the way. Honestly, last night, the dinner was not for free. $150, whatever it was. Right? We think, when we pay for something in life, I imagine this, it comes to me. Now, of course, by the way, if you do buy something, you do expect it. That's for sure true. For sure true. But even so, when you do get it, you have to appreciate that you got it. And that's the key here. I'll give you an example. Baruch Hashem worked out, but Rabbi Rieti was supposed to fly Friday. I could have organized for him to come, and he may not have been here for Shabbos because there was something called Nemo or some nor'easter that could have. I heard it clobbered Boston, right? So I can pay for a dinner. There were two people last night who were sick. Right? They paid for a dinner. They didn't come. They were sick. Hey, you pay for dinner. You could make the efforts. So we very often when we talk about Bikurim, bring the first fruits. A person, the first fruits. No one gets fruits without labor, without sweat, without tears, without waking up back-breaking work. So what's the typical reaction? I did it. My effort, my time. Right. Right? So the first thing is if a person gets more than a person, right? A person who ever gets more, right, has to always say thank you. Zori halacha, this is the halacha of arba'at tzrichim hodos. There are four people who are of obligation to thank Hashem. Who are these four people? Yodei, a person who travels the seas. And comes out okay. In those days, the seas were, of course, were extraordinarily dangerous. There, even I think today, even there's a cruise liner, a Carnival cruise liner,
got 4,000 people stuck
in a cruise without water, without all kinds of crazy things. They changed the bathrooms. I can imagine 4,000 people. Yardei Hayam. In those days, only here they can be rescued. You can get capsized. There were pirates. You got lost. They didn't have GPSs on those boats, right? You can end up in Gilligan's Island. Who knows what could happen to you, right? Yardei Hayam. You heard of Gilligan's Island?
Yes,
it's a good
place.
Yeah.
That
doesn't
sound
so bad.
Yardei Hayam.
It wasn't in Israel.
Holchem Midbaros, right? The people traveling in the deserts. The deserts were also, if you got lost in the deserts, there wasn't water fountains there to help you out. Mishu choylev in israp, a person who's ill and gets better. Ooh, I can tell you somebody who's ill and gets better. Hey, ha'karas atov. Wow. You should have it. Mishu choylev in israp, if you're in a jail, and again, the jail in those days was not a California state penitentiary. Right? The jails were pits. Right? They were dark. There's no showers. They didn't feed you three solid meals a day. Right? They physically abused you very often. Right? A person who gets out, all these things. Yardei Hayam. So, where do we learn out? Yardei Hayam. Minal Nechsev. Yardei Hayam. Ani Hashem. Hema Ro Umas Hashem. They see Hashem. V'yomer v'yomer ruach sa'ara yalu shamayim yardei toimus. V'yomer yachugu v'yanu k'shikar. V'yomer yitzaku al Hashem. Batzalem v'metzukosem yotzim v'yomer yikayim sa'ara l'tmama v'yomer yismuchu. So actually, I'm going to skip this. He goes through all of the verses where you learn all of these things out, right? And in fact, when you tie the base of Mikdash, you would have to bring a korban. What was the korban called? Korban Torah, right? Thanksgiving offering. So we today do Hagoyimel. A person would be obligated to do this in order to say thank you in any of these situations. So the Altami Kelim, the great student of the Rebbe Sol Salanter, says, "Arum kama anashim." We can see people shayu choylem al eres tavadis in the sick beds. V'yishlach Hashem devaro v'yopim. They get cured. They're sick. They get cured. They were trying to have a baby, they get a baby, whatever it may be. Violent Hoyts of Tilati should be, on the contrary, when they get this, right, they should be jumping for joy, happiest as they can be. Well, the hate of Jarkum, right, when we see the opposite, right, after they're cured, they go right back to their lifestyle and change them. They're not thankful, they're not appreciative. They go right back to it. Kamat sarach lazar bazar. Shaladim chayav lahoida shekuma yisashan yisum ekilo. Shloya o kafoy tovol yiskalku yoser. But not even to get worse, right? So people, the first second and things get better, they go right to the shtus, right to the silly things. And they get healthy and they go to Hawaii, to Vegas, right? Instead of going to Jerusalem, going to the Kaisel saying thank you Hashem, right? I'm better now. Let me go to Vegas. They're not going to the Kol in Las Vegas either, right? They're going to the other side of Las Vegas. So, I mean, it's a remarkable thing, right? There's a complete loss of perspective. We have to stop in our own lives and say, what are we getting? So he says a person should always see, it says that we get more than we deserve in life. Whenever we get more than we deserve, we should say thank you to Hashem. I'm going to give you two things. Share something. This is not a high level. I think it's a simple level. I'll tell you last night, okay? You do a dinner. I was one of the participants in planning this. Something's clearly, it was on my head. And you're involved in this type of thing. I mean, there's so many things that can go. I mentioned just one of Rietti. That could have, if he wouldn't have come, he was the featured speaker on every invitation. His name was on it. And certainly, he was an addition to the whole weekend and to the dinner. I mean, if he didn't come, right, that would have been a tragedy. But he could have easily, something could have happened, right? There were multiple speakers up there. Somebody could have said something incredibly unintelligent. The food could have had a problem. Right, the hall could have had a problem. Right, somebody could have got hurt on the way there. Somebody could have fainted there and got hurt. And there's so many things. At the end of the day, I said, "Thank you, Hashem." I mean, you realize, I'm just doing my own little part of the shul. But there's so many things that could happen. Right? Aren't I, who is at that dinner, who is involved in, obligated to thank Hashem that it worked out? Isn't that the right thing to do? I mean, how could I? You know, you make efforts, you daven to Hashem. Shouldn't I have been saying thank you, Hashem? Right away! I don't know if I remember. Right away, Baruch Hashem. It was, it was a great dinner. Baruch Hashem. That to me was simple. Simple. Not only because a million things could have went wrong, even if it was the chance or not, but Baruch Hashem. Thank God. We all have things every day of our lives. Yosef Michalke, I want to tell you, for people, I've seen this idea by great tzaddikim. It's such a good thing. If you do it, I mentioned thanking human beings. Now I'm going to thank Hashem. I don't think he brings this. I haven't seen him say this, but I really hold this Eitzah, this piece of advice. It was worth waking up this morning to hear this. It's worth waking up for many reasons, but to hear this, it is such a brilliant idea that these tzaddikim do. It's so fantastic. We all owe Hashem so much every day. And I mentioned, if we would really appreciate Hashem and appreciate the gifts Hashem gives us, when we say our bracha, Shemayim, we say bracha every time. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, borei nefashos rabbos v'chasrinan, al kol ma shebarasa l'hachayos b'ham nefesh kol chai, baruch chei olamim. If anyone ever listens to this on the CD or MP3, you can't stand it. I've had people listen.
It has to be live.
Meaning if someone would hear me on the phone, they can say amen. Because they're hearing me live, but they're going to listen to me. They would do it taped. I've been in rooms where people, like in the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, I mean, friends, like saying Shahakol on Tisha B'Av, amen! Like, people in the room saying amen. It's the guy who's filmed, the Rav was filmed 4 weeks beforehand. Right? You're not saying amen to any bracha. It's not a live bracha. So I mentioned that because I don't want to say anyone say amen. A bracha. Unbelievable, Hashem. My voice is hurting me. Fantastic dinner. You see a beautiful say. Oh, you say my celebration. You sing Shmona Esrei. Hey, if we have a Carson, just today I had a very serious conversation with somebody. over lunch we're talking about davening, and this person struggles with davening. This person has, if a person has a concept of gratitude to Hashem, appreciation of davening so much more. Because when you, remember I just mentioned before, your husband, if you be don't hold him accountable, unless you're at the same level, I said. If you be a person who has a tough, when he would get that dinner with those potatoes, that garlic chicken, string beans, okay, he'd be Rebbetzin, wife, honey, sweetie, my darling, you're the best. I appreciate you. You were so kind. You were so considerate. This must have taken you 2 hours, and you made it all for me. And you must have. It means for 2 hours you were focusing on our dinner. You could have just bought that frozen pizza, even though frozen pizza is good sometimes. Right? I only ever come to bars, right? You could put. You can have breath and frozen.
You can't figure it out if you listen to the tape.
Right.
Somebody who's not from town will say, listen to the tape. It's hard.
Well, they'll know when to come when they visit. Right? So you could have put frozen pizza for me, but you made me my garlic chicken. And you even brought it apart. It's our cousin. You guys, so excited. I mean, you really think about it. The husband can't just work. When your husband comes home early and helps for Shabbos and clears his schedule and buys flowers, don't hold him accountable, please. Right? And you stop and think about that. Or he calls you in the middle of the day. He wasn't supposed to call you. And he says, how are you doing? How is this going? Right? And you say, you know, you're great. You know how busy you are. I really appreciate you calling. And you want to express, that's how we really should, that's normal, Hakarstov, by the way. That's healthy gratitude. If people who are appreciative of their spouses, you stop at Hashem. It's like you want to express Hakarstov, right? You want to articulate that gratitude, right? If you just can't say no, right? Here you have your sister, your best friend comes to your birthday, and he came with great effort. You want to say thank you, right? And she came. It's so meaningful that your sister came for your birthday, right? And you know that it took a lot. It was expensive. It cost money. She has a family, and she made the effort. Right? And you don't have to be convinced to say thank you. It's natural, hopefully, and hopefully it's thick, you know. You pile it on, you know. You say something appreciative, right? You are a great sister. I know that it was not easy for you, and you came from far, and you know, v'chule. So if we stop and say, Hashem, look what you gave me. We don't need to be motivated. We're just saying, thank you, Hashem. You gave me so much. So thank you so much, Hashem. I mean, how much will that motivate our tefillah? How will that motivate our davening? Thank you, Hashem. You give me so much. I mean, wouldn't that propel us to higher levels? So I want an idea I saw. It's such a gavaldic idea. When you say maidim, when you get to maidim every day in Shemona Esrei, before you say maidim, some say three, some say five, three things God did for you that day. I asked for myself, did we think about what Hashem gave us today at all? Any of us? Don't answer, please. Right? Honestly, it's now 8:40 Pacific Standard Time. Okay? If you woke up late, you woke up at, I don't know, I'll assume 8 o'clock is late. Okay? Most of us woke up, I woke up way before 6. Right? Okay? How many of us, don't answer for this ourselves, in over 12 hours, in the whole entire day of thinking and breathing and talking and walking, eating and speaking, you know, thought about Hashem and something that Hashem gave us for a moment? How many of us? For one moment! Here we are, from Yid, growing people who are at a class on a Monday night. Right? Great people. How many thought about one thing that Hashem gave us the whole day? Even when we said brachas, most of us didn't really get to think. We did it ritually. That's ritually. We just said the bracha. Habitually. Ritually. Right? To be really stop and say, thank you, Hashem. This is fantastic. I really owe you. Another I owe you. I really appreciate it. I have gratitude. How many of us? And then we wonder why we feel disconnected to Hashem. Why we're not boy. We have a whole day. I guarantee you, if I would give anyone a sign right now, go in separate corners. If you really would think about it, you would, but till the morning you can write just what you did today. How many chasadim Hashem gave us, but we didn't think for one moment, most of us. We're normal. That's what most people live like. Right? So when we say Moedim, before you say Moedim, believe neither, think about 3 to 5 things. We would pick 5. It shouldn't even be a hard thing. Shachar would be the hardest because you just woke up. But if you, right?
That in and of itself is worth saying thank you.
There you go. You took the words out of my mouth.
No, it's all right? Downhill.
You
wake up.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good. There we
all
go.
Good.
There we go. Right? Yeah, Hashem is water in my house. I thank you. And I've had this power. I can set on light. I got my eyes opened. I fresh clothes. I mean, before you say Monday, we have much more things to be grateful for. Right? Most people You know, the car almost said that the highway was.
That's my fault. I say, thank you. When I get off the highway, I say, I verbalize it because it's such a terror.
Right.
Terror.
Good.
Yeah, that's
good, but whatever, but that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah.
So I feel like a good way to be able to say thank you and appreciate everything that Hashem gives us is by experiencing that lack at some point in time.
True, but that's you're absolutely correct. It's much easier to feel that way. That's 100% correct. But here's the thing, right? We just mentioned that people get sick and they don't appreciate it. Has anyone ever had the flu in this table? Ever?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone ever had the flu? So you've had the flu. You've had that lack. Do you need to be reminded of it every 3 months to feel it? No, you shouldn't need to be reminded of it. We don't want the flu every 3 months or more. But I don't have the flu. We should appreciate our health. Right?
Well, most people don't appreciate their good health till they're in not good health.
Absolutely.
That's a big drastic.
You know why? Do you know why? Because they don't think about it.
Exactly.
That's right. So it's for sure true, but I'll tell you, even though we've had the flu, and we've had a sprained ankle, or people have had, you know, difficult relationships and they're now gone and the things are good, we don't think about it, and therefore we don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's the thinking about it. If you think by Maidim, you could actually visualize what it means to lack and how grateful you are. It's a question of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Right? Great people, you have it once, you can visualize the rest of your life. Right? Great people can visualize it the rest of their life, and even if not, you can imagine what it's like. Yeah.
You know that other people go through terrible things. We don't have to experience this ourselves.
Right, and that's also, I was going to get to that next. You can live vicariously.
Absolutely.
You can live vicariously. I live vicariously. I unfortunately, I see the greats and I see the terrible things. I can tell you the marriages my mother-in-law, who is, you know, an expert in this, she's told me cases that I shudder. I mean, Rabbi Rieri, my wife and myself, we had a conversation for 2 hours Saturday night. We were just talking about chinuch stories. You know, we all have backgrounds in chinuch. I mean, he was saying, you can shudder, right? So you don't need to live. On the contrary, the best way is to live vicariously. That's me. To appreciate it. Like, thank God, you know, I can walk. This person that can't walk. I can appreciate it. I can see. I have this. You know, I mean, to me, but even living vicariously or living with your own memories, or it takes thought. And the only way it's thought, I just said the whole day, most of us gave minimal thought about Hashem. Minimal thought, right? Minimal thought. And again, as I said a couple of weeks ago, most of us, our relationship with Hashem is when we want something. Give me. Baby, marriage, health, parnasa, give me. Right? That's how we daven to Hashem. Give me. Does that create any normal relationship? So, and when we don't get, we're upset. Why, Hashem, why didn't you give me this? We don't say thank you. Well, give me. We don't get, we're upset. Right, so that affects the whole thing. So just a suggestion I'm going to give tonight. I strongly suggest people try this. You know, before you say Maidim, you know, most ladies, I would say, quite frankly, certainly if you don't have little babies in the house, one should be davening at least one Shemon Esrei a day. Some say even two. Alright? And if you're righteous, you can even go for three. But that's already very uncommon. But certainly, the goal should be at least Shacharis. Okay? The daven to Hashem Shemon Esrei. Preferably two, according to some place, given our person, women are obligated in Shacharis and Mincha. Okay? You're saying Maidim. If everyone every day would stop by Maidim, I promise you, you would change your lives. It would change your whole relationship to Hashem. If every day before you bow down, stop by Maidim and think, what do I have to thank Hashem about today? Even in the difficult days, even when you have that flu, and you have so much to be thankful for, it will change your lives. It will change your relationship to Hashem. Because you know why? We'll be thinking about the balanced chassadim that we have. Change your Shemona Esrei. Okay? In fact, if you're really going to do it, you may even think during the day, oh, I have to say more than what I'm going to think about. What am I saying thank you for? Maidim. Thank you, Hashem. What are you thanking Hashem for? And when you bow down at that moment, it'll be a different bowing. I remember my friend, he just got engaged to a very prominent Rosh Hashiva's daughter. granddaughter, actually. Very, very. One of the biggest yeshivas in America. So one of the rabbis of the yeshiva, it was going in Eretz Yisrael, said, every time you said Maidib, you should realize how lucky you are. Yeah, whatever, you can take it or leave. But he's right. I mean, if you say Maidib, then he married a good girl, period. Who, Maidib. You thank Hashem. We had a, if we were saying Maidib, we couldn't stop articulating how much it is. Right? We could stop articulating how grateful it is. You know, the Chayimus Lavavis, the ethics of our heart, the duties of our heart, has a remarkable part. He says the following thing. He says that, imagine the following story. If you had a guy, he had been thrown into a pit as a young kid, and every day he was given a drop to eat, and he was unkempt, and he was foul, and somebody comes by the pit, a stranger, and he takes him out. Clothes him, feeds him, teaches him, educates him, marries him off, gives him a house. What would you say? How would you feel about such a person who took you out of that pit? What do you think?
Grateful.
Grateful. I mean, I think you were living in this pit for years, every day trying to get out, stuck there, being fed nothing. Right? You'd be. He said, the Chassidus says, imagine God brings you to the world. God owes us nothing. He gives us life, gives us sight, gives us hearing, gives us a heart, gives us a lot, gives us, you know, puts us in situations where we're good. And how grateful to God. He says, you know why we're not grateful? Because we don't think about it. This person we're forced to think about, because we see it in our eyes. He got me out of the pit. He fed me. But God, unless you think about it, you're not going to be grateful. Right? It's unconscionable that Torah Jews should go through days not thanking Hashem. And I'm not talking about ritually thanking.
Consciously,
right? Thinking about it, appreciating, and personalizing it on top of it. Personalizing that thank you. You know, I remember my wife, she trained me well. Like, I first got married. Don't quote me on this. But, hey, I know. That's a good lesson. I say thank you. She said, what are you thanking you for? She's very sweet. Like, specifics, you know, like, for what, right? Like, thank you, a general thank you. Right? If I went to Manny, did a great job last night. Great job, unbelievable. Manny, great job. It's different than this. Manny, the chicken was delicious. The lamb, I don't eat lamb, but it looked great. Right? You know, the jelly beans, what a nice idea. And the desserts, three kinds of desserts, fantastic. Right? The decor was beautiful. Right? I loved the idea of the menus being like that. Right? What do you think is nicer? Many great job or doing the second thing? What do you think? I think telling them all the details of what you appreciated, it means that you're actually paying attention. It allows you to appreciate it. Right? And it causes a much better feeling. It means that all of his efforts, right, were appreciated. Right? We love Hashem. We just personalize it. Right? We have to think, okay, Hashem, you gave me this. Thank you, Hashem. Do a little more another time. That's our major avoda. Our major thing for the week is Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I love you, Hashem, because Hashem loves us. If we can't appreciate Hashem's love for us, that's a tragedy. And we won't appreciate Hashem's love for us if we don't sit and think. There are children who think their parents don't love them, the parents give them everything. You know why I think the parents love them? Because they don't appreciate what the parents give them. It's as simple as that. If you don't appreciate it, you won't feel the love. If you don't appreciate it, if the husband gets that dinner and the wife puts on the makeup and the shetel and the nice dress, right, and she tidies up the house because the house was a mess before he came, and the husband doesn't appreciate it, right? He won't feel the love. And the love could be hanging thick in the air. But if you don't stop and smell the coffee or the garlic chicken, right?
Or the roses,
right? You're not going to appreciate it. Right? If you take it for granted, if it's unappreciated, it won't cause that love. And you know, the love could be there. Right? It takes stopping and thinking about it. It takes You know, the Elia Lapion, Hafla Vefela, unbelievable. He would stop at a Shabbos table every Friday and look around to look what he can thank his wife for. Next to make a Shabbos. Any ladies made Shabbos before? Does it happen magically? Is there a secret to do it? Like, voila! You know? It's a huge effort. I mean, it's a huge effort. A huge effort. Right? Stop and think, yo. How much did this... The child will think, stop and think what a parent does. And quite frankly, you know, husbands are less demanding of thank yous than wives. Wives inherently need it. This is physiological. Women need a thank you more than men. They feed more. Many covet. Many respect. Okay? This is a chasen shmuz, right? If you want to make a man happy, you give him respect. This is... Everyone's a little bit combination of both, but men inherently want some level of respect. Certainly from their wives. Certainly from their wives. Right? A man needs for his own self to feel respect. Women need to feel loved and appreciated. That's a generalization, but the basic rudimentaries of how humans function. So, men don't demand thank yous like women do, and therefore, they don't get it as much. And that's a negative. You know why? Because if you don't express thank you to your husband, you're not creating that relationship as much. You're not bonding as much as you could be. Because he's not going to demand it as much. Now, certainly he'll demand this covenant. I'm the man of the house. There's a truism to that. Men need to feel like they're getting the respect. You don't respect me. These cliches are very, very true. There's a deep reality to that. But you know what? Men need thank yous also. They don't need it as much, and they don't demand it as much. But if you don't give it, you're damaging yourself, and you're damaging the relationship to that extent. And, you know, you're damaging your hakar hatov gratitude towards your husband, right? Question?
I'm just trying to think why it's so difficult for a human being to be grateful. And what I thought is, you know, the neshama is perfectly happy up in Shemayim. It's with Hashem. And Hashem puts her down in this earth with this body that weighs it down. And it's a struggle. We heard yesterday it's a struggle. We know it's a struggle. Could that be a reason? I mean, Hashem, I mean, why... You know,
so we mentioned two things, right? We mentioned number one was what we said last week,
right,
we don't like to express thank you. And the bigger thing was that we're used to it. We take things for granted. And that means we grow up as takers, right? As a little kid, we come home, we have dinner, right? We have clothes. We have a bed. If a baby cries, he or she knows she'll be nursed or get a bottle. So we're growing up as takers without any gratitude. Babies will not express thank you, right? You know, get a smile, okay, but it's not real, it's not ours, that kind of articulate thank you, right?
But maybe the neshama is not grateful.
It's not natural, and we're egocentric. Inherently, as I mentioned, if 28 kids have crayons, I don't have crayons! That's intrinsic to humans. Mm. So hakara satay means hakara, stopping and appreciating the good. Mm. The language itself tells you how to have gratitude, to stop, to recognize the good. Hakara satay. And takes stopping and thinking. It's not an automatic. Yeah. That's the thing. It's that humans don't automatically have gratitude. The more we stop and we think, the more gratitude we'll have. And, quite frankly, and this is where even if your husband's never listened to it, if you want to change them and your families for the better, it's contagious, right? Just like happiness is contagious, people who are happy make people happy around them. People who are depressed make people depressed around them. People who are angry make people angry around them, right? People of gratitude make people have gratitude around them. And you say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It creates other people say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because it's appreciated and it reverberates, yeah.
Regarding the parent-child model, as the only person at the table who doesn't have children, I have heard, and you can all confirm it, that once people become parents, they become much more acutely aware of all that their parents did for them.
Oh, for sure.
When the role is reversed.
Which is not to say
that the child shouldn't say thank you as the child is a child growing up, but you have a much...
You have a better shot.
There's more clarity, and you're an adult, and you can now realize what your parents did for you that was not.
You can. I think you. What did you say? Can. Not for sure. Most.
No. I don't even say guaranteed.
I'm no more than that. I say most don't, which means most don't carry over that to their parents. Most people, when they're waking up with their kid, don't call up their parents the next day and say thank you for waking up for me.
No, I didn't say
it changes
thank
them.
You, but they realize.
But so, what's realizing?
Okay, but it's a first step.
Well, you're right, but they don't.
It's a first step.
It's a step. Yeah, right, absolutely. That's true. But it's a very small step, because you know what happens? There's no process here. It means you have a benefit which most people don't use. I don't see it nearly as much as it should be, which means, of course, you're able to understand more what your parents gave. That's for sure true. Mm-hmm. But the fact that more do people articulate that thankful? Do they think about it? Absolutely, because some people, right. But it means your ability to do it is greater. Yeah. But the reality is that the still vast majority of people do not. And for the same reason, that even though they're now seeing it, just like Mrs. Gadali said, oh, well, if you are sick, you can appreciate it. Most people who are sick after they have the flu, they just go on in life and they don't think about the flu anymore. You know, because if you don't stop and think about it, it's not. So, yeah, you wake up at 3 a.m. with your kid. Oh, my parents did it for me. Now, does that change your relationship with your parents? Mm-hmm. For the most, it doesn't. You know why? Because it doesn't translate. It's not made as, oh, this is great. You know, or you do a perfunctory. Thanks, Mom. I remember you woke up for me at 3 a.m. And then that's it. You're done. Like I'm telling you, last night my daughter was sleeping in my room because we were at his house. Mm-hmm. She woke up. She was in a different room. It was like 45 every 45 minutes. It was like a crazy night, absolutely night. I'll probably forget about it. Hopefully, forget about it quite soon. But she'll never. She'll never know that. I'm not going to tell it to her. Right, but one day she may have the same situation. Halavah she should, Bez Hashem. You know, she should have it many times. You know, in a healthy way, in a very very healthy way. Right, I hope she'll think maybe my parents had the same thing. I'm not gonna tell her. Oh, by the way, you woke 45 minutes every night. You woke up. I was added as going 4.5 hours of sleep at best, and you woke me up every 45 minutes. Right? I'm not gonna tell that to her. But how many of us, when we have that, do we think, wow, I mean, maybe my. You know, if my parents told me, I can recognize it. How many of us say, wow, my parents may have had the same thing? Right? And most people don't. So you're correct that you have the ability. But if you don't stop and think about it, it's not going to happen. And that's with our parents, with Hashem, with our spouses, with our friends. All these things demand that stopping and appreciating and translating and starting the process. Okay. So one more idea. This is just an idea of gratitude itself. This is about Shvi. So all that okay, Milan, another thing of how lofty having being gratitude is. You know, Lomdim v'Yishayahu Perek Lamechas. It says in Yishayahu the 38. This is when Chizkiyahu was this great king of Israel, got very very ill, deathly ill. He was on his deathbed. Okay, Yishayahu told him he was going to die, and then miracle of miracles, he let his son Menashe get married, or he got married. He's going to eventually have Menashe from that, and he gets cured. Okay, so Mikta Lechazkiyahu. So in Yishayahu, anyone ever learn Yishayahu, ladies? Anyone ever learn Yishayahu? Nobody. Isaiah, Book of Isaiah. No. Have any? Are any of you going through Navi? Any of you? Have any? I'm just going to suggest. Right, it's a good goal to have. It's a fantastic goal to get. To do a certain amount of Navi every week. It's tragic that none of you really have or haven't learned Yeshayahu for many years, let alone ever, or to remember that Yeshayahu, I mean, or Yirmiyahu, or Treyasar, or Daniel. I mean, this should be what you're learning. I have free time. I've never heard of, New York Times or People or even something which is a lot more kosher like the Wall Street Journal or no, Ari Mishpacha. Mishpacha. Hamudia. Fantastic. Oh. Haim Shiyid from Jew. Baruch Hashem. I don't read that other magazine. I don't read the Wall Street Journal. I'm a Mishpacha person. I'm a Hamudia. I promise you, I'm not telling you if you need a break. You get more out of life if you just go to Navi than sitting there thinking of Mishpacha and imagining that you're a holy Jew for reading Mishpacha. Okay, it's a nice magazine. It's cute. I read it sometimes when I eat. But I mean, there's not that much there. I mean, it's like you read people's what they do in their living room. You know, it's or in ballpark. Okay, so I mean, you'll get much more by doing Navi. If you want to do a religious thing in free time, It should be that lady, men and ladies, you can tell your husband the same thing. You give men the same hard time. To finish Navi, I mean, this should be a goal for us all, to go through Navi, to be fluent in the Anshei Tanakh, the Nashim of Tanakh. Right? And if you have a hard time with the Hebrew, I have great news, fantastic news. Art scroll translated it all. You can get the whole set in art scroll with commentaries. I mean, this is how a Jew lives, to go through. And if you want to even be better, learn it with your husbands. Fantastic, because they can also learn, trust me. Right? Fantastic. Right? It would be fantastic to do this. I'm not knocking Mishpacha or Hamadiyah. I am knocking the New York Times and San Francisco Chronicle. But I'm not knocking. There's fine things, but it's not, there's no mitzvah to read those things. Really, there's not. You should know the news, so if you have to look over some basic news, it's great. I think it's important to know the news. It's important to have a vibe of what's going on in the world. All important things. But there's not a Hini Muchan, a Mezuman, a Likrois, it's a Mishpacha magazine. And now I've made it. That's not that you made it, right? Making it is davening, Tanakh, gratitude. Those are the important things. In life, and learning Navi is important. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu, "Michta lechizkiyahu melech Yehuda, bechalaisi vayichi mechayahu." Ani amarti, so Eliyahu Chizkiyahu said this letter when he got healed from his sickness. Ani amarti b'dmai yamei alcha b'shayishal. I thought I was going to the grave with my days shortened. Pakati yasher shnas. I kind of gave up my rest of my life. Amarti lo ara Hashem. I said, I won't see God. Whew. I'm not going to see God. Why won't I see God? Hashem be'eretz chaim. God is in the land of life. Lo abit adam oid miyosh v'chadol. I won't see any more people of the inhabitants of the earth. Says Rav David Kimchi, the great, great Radak. Amarti lo ara Hashem. I'm not going to see God. Of course, you're going to see God. He's going to the world to come. He's talking about Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach, the Gemara says. Okay? Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. He's going to, you think he's not going to go to Gan Eden, to Olam Haba? He's going to see, he'll be up there in Kol Hashem. I'm not going to see God. That's what he says. Pirsha Beinu Sadi. It says that the Radak quotes of Sadi Gayed. Inyan Haida, I won't be able to thank Hashem. V'nachon Hu means, the thanking Hashem in this world, because there it's going to be automatic in the world to come. But to stop and think and thank Hashem, to stop and cogitate, contemplate, ruminate, ponder, and to thank Him, that's only in this world. Right, where it's up to me to be able to thank Hashem. God is a God where to an extent hidden. He said, Yoshua Beseser Elyon, the God's Seser. He's up in the refuge up above. The Shoshaka Yisrael, Man Yerosa Maria Mamash Kaviyachol, said in Yahoda. How do we see God? This is the thing here. Chizkiyahu says, I'm not going to be able to see God anymore. And what does the Radak quote from Sadi going? I'll be able to thank God. Which tells us, how do you see God in this world? Thanking Him. Kara Satoyev. You want to see Hashem, you got to stop and think about how God helps you. Right? Yirah Oz Hashem is in your heart. Dolom Amilin Lilud Samayim Achayim Ha'omik says in Revolva. Revolva, greatest Mashkiach the past 30 years, 40 years. It's not, when you stop and think about it, here Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda says, one of the greatest tzaddikim to ever walk in this world, that I won't be able to see God anymore because I won't be able to thank Him. That means the thanking God is how you see God in this world. How many of us saw God today? Right? Thanking Hashem. Right? Thanking Hashem is how you see Hashem in your life. Thanking Hashem is how you see Hashem in your life. Thanking Hashem is how you see Hashem in your life. You don't thank Hashem, you won't feel Hashem. I have people that come to me, good people, sincere people, I don't feel Hashem. Imagine the following thing. Okay, you have as my own crude marshal. You're living here. You have no job. Every day, you get food sent to you. Your house cleaned. Okay, dry cleaners delivered all to you. And it's from your father in Yerushalayim. Okay? Your mother, your parents in Yerushalayim. If you never stop and think about it, do you feel your parents? No. You're not going to even think about your parents. All you think about is your life. You're very, remember, we're egocentric. I got to exercise today. I got to walk today. I got to do this today. I got to do this today. I got to cook for Shabbos. Ooh, I got to cook for Shabbos. Very consuming. Right? I'm sitting here, I'm cooking for Shabbos. I mean, you're not even thinking about Hashem the whole time. Right? I got to do this. I got to feed my baby. I got to take my kids to school. I got to talk with my friends. I got to go to shul work. You can literally not feel Hashem. But if you stop and think about it, for sure, it's definitely good. There are people who tell me they don't feel Hashem. You know why? They don't thank Hashem. If you thank Hashem, you'll feel Hashem all over your life. So again, let's go back to that husband who comes home. His wife doesn't appreciate his wife. You know why? He doesn't feel his wife. His wife, literally, she makes him this garlic chicken, potatoes, string beans and lemon.
That's what you want for dinner. No, actually, no.
If my wife's listening to this, you know what I like. Right? Right? No, good, sweet chicken, garlic chicken. That's why we never have garlic chicken in my house. It's always sweet. Thanks to my tzaddikis. You stop it. The husband's sitting there getting all this. Wife puts on makeup, cleans up the house. The kids made a bahala. Right? And all of a sudden, the husband here the wife did everything. If you don't stop and think and smile, you're not going to appreciate it. How he makes a living, goes running, does this. You're not doing anything for me. What do you mean, you're not doing anything for me? Then he gets upset. Right? What do you mean? How about doing anything? There's no appreciation. It's taken for granted. Terrible. Hashem. You want to feel Hashem, you have to thank Hashem. You want to see Hashem. You want to see Hashem. Little as Hashem, you got to thank Hashem. Person who doesn't go deep into thanking Hashem, hamakif or somi called sad, surrounding him at all levels, roes atzmo rakikli katan, shefa teiva other, right? To give so much good, lo yavans is a kamish nachar pi. You can't appreciate what it means to see Hashem in your life. Right? You can't appreciate. Means if you haven't experienced this. It's like that. It's hard to do. Baruch Hashem, thank you. It's not. It's literally if I cannot explain. I mean, honestly, to somebody who never had a Yom Kippur, what it means to be in the Ilah. If you're especially in a place like Amacha, where an Ilah is real, right? You cannot, unless you've been there. It's not describable. Right? To somebody who hasn't had the privilege of being at Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, that's a whole day of Yom Kippur, and literally you feel that the room is rocking, right, with fear of Hashem and yearning to get close to Hashem, right? You cannot put that into words. Well, a person who never felt what it means to see Hashem in this world, to feel Hashem in their life, it's a different galaxy. It's a different world. Right, to see and feel Hashem, and the only way you get there, right, just like a great marriage. I've seen marriages, I could cry for them, because they're good people. But they just lack that hakar, that gratitude, the communication skills. And you have two people who don't even know what a blissful marriage is. Bliss! Marriage could be mamish gavaldik. Somebody asked me last night what mamish meant. Right? Anyone know? Out of curiosity?
Truly,
right? Truly great. There we go. Right, marriage can be mamish kavaldik, truly great, truly fantastic, spectacular. You have two people, they get along. They don't throw any pots and pans. They're not going to clinics or therapies. No scars, no wounds, and even they have a nice date once in a while, but it's bland, pariv. Right? Instead of, now, no marriage in the real life is all songs and dances. That's not, the reality is it takes hard work and all that. That's for sure true. It's not imagining marriage is like, the violin's playing the whole time. That's not also right. But real marriage is bliss, which means it's geshmak. Just like a relationship with Hashem, by the way, it's not always bliss. There are times of darkness, right? I think, you know, the times where you feel, I can't do this anymore. But the relationship with Hashem is one of feeling Hashem in your life, right? Right? Feeling Hashem in your life. It's a different galaxy. Right? And the more a person stops and has a karas atayv, changes a person's life completely. I mean, radically. And it's incomparable. The person who's tasted that and not. A makir tayv, person who has gratitude to Hashem. You can't stop saying words. You say Nishmas Kol Chai. You ever see the word of Nishmas? You want to take the words of Nishmas Kol Chai. They're half love of a fellow. Unbelievable. Like, God, I don't have the words to thank you. And you sit there saying the words of Nishmas. Right? And you're bursting with it. You know? Bursting with appreciation. Right? For what God gives you in this world. You see what Hashem gives me. Right? You're excited, you're passionate, you're enthused. Ros Hashem, seeing God in this world, seeing God in your lives, in our personal lives, feeling Hashem in our lives is Haidah. The path to get there is gratitude. Thanking Hashem, recognizing Hashem, stopping to appreciate Him. Maidim, as you bow down after thinking about what Hashem did for me. Daibazeh, if a person that can do this, everybody said this week, ladies, this week our work is appreciating Hashem in life. Really, that Hashem loves us, and if we stop and feel Hashem's love, and there's so much in all of our daily lives, Hashem loves us. Do you know what that means? Hashem is constantly giving us, right? And if we feel Hashem's love, then it will change our lives. We'll be able to love Hashem, and we'll be able to feel Hashem, and it will change our whole avodas Hashem, which will change our whole service Hashem. But the only way to get there. Whether you follow my piece of advice, which is to do it by Maidim, which is not my unique piece of advice, it's a piece of advice that many great people have said, or at any other time during the day, is to stop and think and appreciate and to thank Hashem for all of the many personal gifts that He gives us every moment of the day. Okay? Yes.
That's what we're doing in this room.
Yeah,
I
was like 4 years ago for that same speech.
See? I heard something.
You heard something. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting you said to say this at the beginning. So I'm thinking of Mo Day at the beginning, the first blessing.
Right. We spoke about
Mo Day.
Right.
I heard you say Mo Day.
When we spoke Parshas Bo, we were talking about gratitude. Prelude, right? We said when you really think about the first words we say every day, or Mo Day Ani, that's how if we start our day Mo Day Ani, it's a different start of the day. Right? That's a different galaxy.
So there's almost two places. So you have Mo Day. But Modini,
I think Mod, when you bow, I'll tell you why Modini is better. Modini, you're still a little groggy. You know, you're getting up out of bed. You know, you still have to rinse your eyes out. So, you know, wash your face. Also, I mean, you're in Shimon Esrei. It's a point of reverence, you know, at that point. So, again, if Modini works for you, call a kavod. Modini is a suggestion. But what's not a suggestion, and what must be done, is that we stop and recognize Hashem in our lives. That we gotta do. The question is when and how we do it. There's no, how many suggestions what's built into the day. You know? You take a walk in the day, and you stop and outside and look at the sky, and you appreciate your hands, and you're feeling, you're talking, you think about your friends and your relatives and your personal intimate relationships, and that motivates you to thank Hashem, call, that's great, you know? There are people, there are tzaddikim went to the mountaintops or into the forest, you know, whatever you need. But you gotta do it every day. Right? Yeah, I mean, just like a husband, now let's go back to now the husband heard my lecture. He heard my lecture, and he gets that garlic chicken with the green beans, and the potatoes, and the lemonade, and you know what happens? He comes and says, sweetie, I appreciate you so much. Thank you. You are the best. And he goes on. But you know what happens? He says it. And he does the next day. But by day three or by day four, I said it already. How many times have I got to say this already? Right? So obviously with Hashem, it's not enough to do it once or twice. You know why? Because she's still sweetie every day. Right? It's a daily thing. And we have to thank Hashem every day. That means every day we have to stop and think what Hashem does for us. Okay, we'll hold here. I'll pick up next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.